Hello and good morning. Thank you for being here together and supporting each other in this very vast and remarkable practice called Zazen. Feel free to change your posture if you need and keep your back up straight and listen with your pores. This temple and this day have been purposely designed for one thing, and that's the practice of Zazen. Many people, many beings, both dead and alive, sentient and non-sentient, have worked tirelessly and endlessly to uphold this Zazen practice. And now all of us together today and in this moment breathe the same breath of the Buddha and the ancestors. This same breath did not start with Shakyamuni seeing the morning star, nor did it end when he died, or nor does it end when we die. What is meant by this endless beginning and endless dying? Let us hear from a few Zen masters this morning. Let's see how we are included and never have been excluded from the Buddha's breath. So this talk is called, What is Directly in Front of You? Zen Master Roso faced the wall. Every time a student approached the Zen master, Master Roso would turn around and face the wall. He would turn away from the student without a comment, without a fuss, sit down and face the wall, just as we did this morning. He turned around from the question. He turned away, turned around from the questioner. He turned away from his own questioning mind, away from eagerness, away from antsiness, away from the feeling I need to stretch my neck or change my clothes. Turn away from your doubts or explanations like, why are you here sitting for one more round? Turn away from all that you have that says, I need to know something. I need to find an answer. And face this wall. The master is showing us he's not in front of us. And perhaps nothing is in front of us. This is a strong response to grasp that there is nothing in front of us. There is nothing outside of us to ask these questions to. There's not even someone inside of us to ask these questions to. How we find this out in our own time and when the time is ripe is through the endless beginning and the endless dying of practice. Practice that cannot hold back winter turning into spring. And yet, the student protests and we protest. I want to know what you know, Master Roso. I want to be free of my anxieties. Can you help me? Master Roso remains silent. And at the same time, in that silence, he has said everything. When the time is ripe, he is saying loudly, everything, everything is gone. Gone, gone, and gone beyond, beyond gone. The last thing we chanted in the Heart Sutra this morning. Gate, gate, parasam gate, bodhisvaha, gone, beyond gone. The Master is tuning us simply and gently to have our own experience of the wall-gazing practice. So as we sit for the remainder of today, take his guidance. See what happens when you ask nothing of the wall that you're looking at. Or if your practice is to see the floor, raise your spine a bit more and see more beyond the floor. Turn your back on your own questions. See what happens when you stop fulfilling your own cravings. We all come to a full stop on the three sicknesses when we sit Zazen. And then we see, well, what is directly in front of us? Zazen Kai, and perhaps every day, is completely and thoroughly designed to tune us to see with our ordinary eyes and ears this extraordinary world. So let's see for ourselves. What then? If you are still not satisfied, perhaps you have more in common with this practice than you realize. Two other masters, Chan Feng and Yunmen, had a dialogue in case 17 in the Koan collection called Entangling Vines. Chang Feng went into the Buddha hall and said, "The Dharmakaya has three types of sicknesses and two types of light. Only after passing through these can one sit in peace." Yunmen stepped forward from the assembly and asked, "Why is the fellow in the hut unaware of what's going on outside?" Chang Feng gave a hearty laugh. Yunmen said, "Your student is still dissatisfied." Chang Feng asked, "What's on your mind?" Yunmen said, "I'd like you to be completely clear on this." Chang Feng replied, "Yes, only when one is careful and thorough can one truly sit in peace." "Exactly," Yunmen agreed. So Chang Feng comes into the Buddha hall and says there are three types of sicknesses and two types of light. Only after passing through these can one sit in peace. Yunmen steps up and says, "Why is the fellow in the hut unaware of what's going on outside?" Chang Feng gives the hearty laugh, but Yunmen says, "Your student is still dissatisfied." It would appear Yunmen does not care for Chang Feng's response. What's happening here? What is the ancient fact they are showing us? Could they be like Master Roso, showing there is nothing at all, nothing at all to separate us from you and I? This ancient fact of the Buddhas, of all the past, present, and future. This ancient fact they all live by. But Chang Feng is clear. He says we must pass through these three types. He even knows there's three types. We know the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance. And greed, the desires that never cease within us, sometimes called hungry ghost cravings because they can't be fulfilled. You can try, but the more you take, the less full you become, the more empty you become. And hatred creates aversion. And aversion creates more separation. And the third poison, ignorance, or sometimes just called a misunderstanding, that the way exists without us knowing it or not knowing it, this way exists. But Chang Feng says, "Hey, we have to know these three, and we can't sit in peace until we do. And there's two types of light we must know about. We build entire personalities and lives around these three sicknesses. Could it be that these two types of light could save us? Are you just dying to know what these two types of light could be? If I don't tell you, can you sit as Master Roso and turn your back on this question? Is it possible you could sit in peace without knowing the two types of light?" And if you find out now, if I could tell you what the two types of light were, could you sit in peace then? Somehow, when we sit Zazen, we sense the peace that does not belong to knowing the sicknesses or knowing the light. Yunmen says, "Why does the fellow in the hut unaware of what is going on outside? He stands like Master Roso, not answering the monk." One day, you may be asked the same question in the Dokusan room. How will you respond? Will you give a hearty laugh? Yunmen was not satisfied with the hearty laugh. How many times have you gone into Doksan and the teacher did not accept your response, was unsatisfied with your demonstration, unsatisfied with your verbal description? If you have been rung out of the room only to come back in a week or a month or a year and pass the response to your teacher's satisfaction, you know firsthand that something happens when we sit zazen. Something transforms us without us knowing about it. The koan continues. Chang Feng says, "What is on your mind, Yunmen?" Yunmen said, "I'd like you to be completely clear on this." Chang Feng replied, "Yes, only when one is careful and thorough can one truly sit in peace." "Exactly," Yunmen agreed. When Chang Feng asked, "What is on your mind?" this is not a casual question between two Zen masters, because mind is loaded with emptiness, a big emptiness that is right in front of us. An entire universe erupts from emptiness and folds back into it, erupts again as a tiny snowflake landing on a tree branch. The entire universe unfurls with a flag in the wind, a moon hidden behind clouds. The entire universe unfolds, tears of suffering in camps or at borders, or animals caught in fires, and hunger without hope. We are to know carefully and thoroughly this empty, empty place, and then we see directly in front of us. Ryokan, another Zen master, lived a simple life at the base of a mountain. And one evening, a thief came into his hut to steal something, but found nothing to steal, nothing of value. Ryokan said, "You have come a very long way and should not return empty-handed. Here, take my clothes." The thief, bewildered, took the clothes and left. Ryokan sat looking at the moon, naked, and said, "Poor fellow, how I wish I could have given him this beautiful moon." Yes, the beautiful moon. Not much one can say when you look at it. It's big, it's round, it's white. Better to gaze and let it return the gaze. This becomes a big gate dissolving. The three sicknesses not taking hold. And the two kinds of lamps, not lit, yet always burning. How will you respond? Why is the fellow in the hut unaware of what's outside? As a way of ending this talk, I have a final story to share. This story takes place in modern times. In October 1995, the following transcript of a radio conversation between a U.S. naval ship and Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland was released. "Americans, please divert your course 15 degrees north to avoid a collision. Canadians, please divert your course 15 degrees south to avoid a collision. Americans, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I order you to divert your course." Canadians, "No, I say again, you divert your course." Americans, "This is the aircraft carrier, the U.S. Missouri. We are a large warship of the U.S. Navy. Divert your course now." Canadians, "This is a lighthouse." The habit force to which we cling to ourselves is so strong. The practice of Zazen shows us what we cling to. It can show us how to step aside and turn around and see clearly what's in front of us. Encountering a lighthouse shows us what we cling to. Gazing at the wall shows us what we cling to. Together with all beings, let us let go of what we cling to and cause no harm to ourselves or others.